Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11 today. Verse 11 through verse 13. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Heavenly Father, that we have been brought near to you, to your people, to your promises, to all that is in Christ, that we have been brought near in our salvation by the blood of Jesus. Lord, may we always remember what the blood of Jesus has accomplished for us. May we remember the value of the sacrificial death of Jesus, our Savior. And Lord, as we do, we rejoice in the great salvation that is ours in Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So let's finish some statements we've been working on and establishing throughout the book of Ephesians. Here's one. The truest thing about you is what God says about you. Okay, the truest thing about you is what God says about you. Not what you think about yourself, not what your emotions say, not what other people say, what God says is the truest thing about you. I am who
God says I am.
Yeah. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. Okay? Those are principles we've been establishing from the beginning of the book of Ephesians. And we're not veering from them. In fact, everything we're looking at is based on them. You will observe in verse 11 that verse 11 begins with the word therefore. Now, there are smaller therefores, smaller in significance. And there are bigger therefores. The therefore at the beginning of verse 11 is a really big therefore. Therefore is based on everything in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 so far, which is based on everything in chapter 1. So the therefore of verse 11 is based on everything in Ephesians so far. That's a big therefore. And it builds on this truth. So it's building on, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Remember, the truest thing about you is what God says about you. That's true when you're not saved, too. And when you're not saved, it says, you're dead in trespasses and sins. You're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. That's what it says in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. You are lost. You are as bad off as you can possibly be before you're saved. Then verse 4 through verse 10 of chapter 2 talks about your salvation. What happens when you're saved? You are saved. You are loved. You are forgiven. You are made alive. Verse 5, you're raised up and seated with him. Verse 6, verse 8, you are saved by grace through faith. Verse 10, you're his workmanship. All of those are true in your salvation. And the difference, what made you from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive, is what you read in verse 4, but God. But God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. It is God who did it. Now, that's the picture, and verses 11 through 13 are now reviewing that in a very special way. So in verse 11, you read, remember that formerly. Remember that formerly you were, and then that goes on into verse 12. Remember that formerly you were. Okay, now, just look at it simply. Is Paul saying that there is something that believers are to remember about their former life before they were saved? Is he? Okay. Do you struggle with that a little bit? Is that something to remember from before you were saved? And he starts out in verse 11 addressing these Ephesian believers as Gentiles. And so he's going to begin talking about the relationship between Jews, Jewish believers in Jesus, and Gentile believers in Jesus in the body of Christ. We're transitioning to that today. If you want to know the detailed answers to those things, come back next time. But these Ephesian believers were largely Gentile believers. Paul says, remember what you were like before, formerly. Now, here's, maybe you don't struggle with that, but here's my struggle with it, if it's not yours. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul says what? Does Paul say, remember the former things? Now, what does he say in Philippians 3? He says, forgetting. Right? Okay. So am I supposed to remember or am I supposed to forget? And the answer to both is yes. I'm supposed to remember and I'm supposed to forget. Well, how does that work? Because it, at first glance, seems contradictory, doesn't it? Am I supposed to remember or am I supposed to forget? And in order to take Ephesians 2:11 seriously, you do understand it tells you to remember. There's something that you are to remember. Now, as we'll work through it, here's what we'll see. We are to remember in terms of biblical truth what we were like before we were saved. We're to remember that. Well, then what are we to forget? We are to forget the details, the things of that. Forget about that. But remember. Remember what the Bible says you were like before you were saved. The Bible says you were lost, you were unbelieving, you were dead, you were under the authority of Satan. Now, before you're saved, listen, it doesn't matter, you know, because we're dealing with what the Bible says now, it doesn't matter what you did before you were saved. You know, you hear some testimonies, oh yeah, before I was saved, I did this. Before I was saved, I, you know, could drink 5 gallons of whiskey in an hour and all that. And, you know, before I was saved, I killed people, you know, all that. And then you hear somebody else say, before I was saved, I was just a nice guy. I was the world's nicest person. I was very moral before I was saved. Okay? Which of those people was worse before they were saved? Okay? Let me ask it a different way. Which of those people was more lost? The answer is they were all lost before God. Say, well, isn't the one who did good a little closer or something? No. They're just as lost as the other one. So what is it that we should remember? Should we remember the details of all those sins? No, those don't help you. If you are saved, those are washed, they are cleansed, they are forgiven, they are gone. Don't remember them. But do remember this. You were lost. You were dead. Do remember that. Why? That's what the Bible says about you. Forget about what you think you did. Remember what the Bible says you were like formerly. So that's kind of how you balance those out. Say, well, but some of the most dramatic stories and testimonies I've ever heard are about all these people naming all the terrible things they did before they were saved. Yeah, and how did that make you feel? I had a guy, this was not here, this was when I was in Indiana. We had a musical group come to do a concert, and one of the members of the musical group started giving his testimony and telling about the people that he killed before he got saved, and he never got caught. Now, what do you think about that testimony? Do you know I went from the room where the concert was to my office to the telephone and called the police? Say, well, you didn't respect that man's testimony very much. Well, I sure hope I didn't have to. You know, be careful about these things. Forget those details and speak about what the Bible has to say. So, what are we to remember about our former life? Verse 11, our former life was honorless. And we're talking spiritually now. Spiritually honorless. In verse 11, these Ephesian Gentile believers were called by Jews what? Uncircumcision. You're uncircumcised, which is a metonymy for being non-Jewish, but it's not a polite metonymy. For a Jew to call someone an uncircumcised Gentile in some way, hey, you uncircumcised Ephesian, that was ridicule. That was shaming the person. And in this case, it was ridicule from Jews over an outward physical act, verse 11 says, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, the act of circumcision, and making a big deal out of that. And yet Paul has said in Romans 2:28 and 29, it's not outward circumcision of the flesh that really matters. What really matters? Circumcision of the heart. Inward circumcision. So the point is, remember that you were shamed. You were dishonored by religious people. What else? Verse 12, you were Christless. Beginning of verse 12, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. Before you were saved, you did not have Jesus. I mean, that statement by itself rids us of thoughts like, well, everybody has Jesus. You know, Jesus is in everybody. No, he isn't. Jesus is in whom? Believers, the saved. Jesus is not in the unsaved. He's not. They're separated from Christ. You have no Jesus. You have no Messiah in your life. You have literally no anointed one in your life. You're separate from him. That's what you were like before you were saved. Also in verse 12, you were homeless. Spiritually homeless. Excluded or alienated from the commonwealth or the citizenship of Israel. Say, well, I wasn't homeless before I was saved. I had a place to live. But that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about spiritually homeless. You did not have citizenship with the people of God. You were alienated from the people of God. Spiritually homeless. Also in verse 12, you were spiritually friendless. Say, well, no, I had friends before I was saved. But verse 12 says, strangers to the covenants of promise. You were a stranger to the people of God who had the covenants of promise. Romans 9 verses 4 and 5 teach us that it is Israel who has the covenants. Israel has the Messiah. Israel has the Word of God. Israel has the covenants. Romans chapter 11 verse 19 says then that Gentile believers are grafted in to the covenants of Israel. That happens when you're saved. But until you're saved, you're what? You're a stranger to all of that. Also in verse 12, hopeless. Before you were saved, you were hopeless. It says in verse 12, having no hope. I know you want to say, well, there's always hope. There's always hope, right? Not if you're not saved. If you're not saved, you have no hope. Now, if you get saved, you'll have hope. But as long as you're unsaved, you have no hope. You say, now, Paul, that's not very nice to call people hopeless. But before they were saved, that's what they were. They were hopeless. They were lost in sin, without hope, with no potential. So, well, don't they have the potential of hope and something? No. The only way that will come is through Jesus. Jesus is the only hope. They have none in themselves. Having no hope. And the end of verse 12, godless. They were without God in the world. Oh, well, I thought everybody had a little spark of God in them. Nope. Without God. No God for them. Now, this is what Paul says people are to remember from the time before they were saved. Don't remember all the details of your sins, but you do remember you were without Christ. You were without God. You were without hope. Paul says, remember that. Now, these are things that the Holy Spirit of God will use and can use in convicting someone, drawing them to new birth, drawing them to faith in Christ for salvation. John chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. Just think of something here for a moment. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Holy Spirit comes, He is going to reprove or convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, because they do not believe on Him. Righteousness, because Jesus has gone to the Father. And judgment, because Satan, the prince of this world, has been judged. Please notice, Jesus did not say that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sins. He said the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. Right? It's not that the Holy Spirit convicts someone, well, you did this. You did this, and that was wrong. And you did this, and that was wrong. And you did this, and that was wrong. No. The Holy Spirit convicts the world. You are in sin. You are lost. You are dead. You are hopeless. You are without God, without Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit convicts you of. And in the process of that, the Holy Spirit lets you know that you are without honor. You are homeless. You're not part of the people of God. So what does the conviction of the Holy Spirit create in an unsaved person? It creates the desire for acceptance and belonging and honor and purpose and hope and friends and honoring God. It creates that desire in them where they begin to see, hey, I don't have that. I don't have any group of spiritual, Christ-honoring people to whom I belong. But you know what? I want to. You know, if you come to that point, do you realize that's the Holy Spirit at work in you, bringing you to that point? So remember what you were like formerly before you were saved. And those are the things that the Spirit of God used to bring you to salvation in Christ. But I'm happy that Paul didn't just stop at verse 12 and skip verse 13. I'm glad verse 13 is there. Remember not only formerly the former things, but remember verse 13, but now. Remember the present. Remember who you are in Christ. But now in Christ Jesus. Who am I now? In Christ Jesus. Now, we've done this several times. Let's just look at it again, and you'll have to look at your Bibles to see it. Chapter 1, verse 1. You are full of faith, believing in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 3. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 4. You are chosen in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 6. You have grace free grace, freely bestowed grace in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 7, you have redemption and forgiveness in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 9, you have purpose in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 10, you're part of the church, the administration, the dispensation of God in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 12, you have hope in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 13, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 15, faith in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 20, you are raised and seated in Christ. As well as chapter 2, verse 6 tells us that. And chapter 2, verse 7, you have the riches of His grace in Christ. And chapter 2, verse 10, you are His workmanship in Christ Jesus. If you're saved, are those things true about you? Those things are all true about you since you're saved. Is it true anymore that you are hopeless? No. That's what was true about you. But now, in Christ, you have hope. Is it true anymore that you are separate from Christ? No, now you're in Christ. Is it true anymore that you are alienated or excluded from the people of God? No, now you are the people of God. That's what's happened in Christ. Remember that you're now in Christ Jesus. You are chosen to be His church, His body. That is who you are. And remember, you formerly were far off, but now you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Brought near. You were formerly far off. That's what chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 describe. That's what verses 11 and 12 describe. Far off, but now you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Brought near to whom? Or to what? Brought near to God? When formerly you were without God? Brought near to God the Father, God the Son? You were without Christ, but now you're in Christ. You were without the Holy Spirit, but now you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You were brought near to God. You were brought near to the people of God. You're no longer excluded. You're no longer alienated. Now, you are the people of God. Now you're included. that happened in Jesus. You were brought near. You were brought near to the covenants and all of the blessings of the covenants. You were brought near to the promises of God. They are yours now. Come on. When you were not saved, the promises of God were not yours. The promises of God are yours. They are yes and amen in Christ. In Him. They're yours. All of the blessings of heaven are yours. You've been brought near to God, to His Word, His covenants, His people. And you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. It is Jesus' death, the shedding of His blood, that made the difference. That's the very heart of the gospel. Jesus' death, the shedding of His blood, that is what brought you to God. That's what brought you to God's promises. Jesus died for you. God loved the world in such a way, they sang it for us this morning. God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His one and only unique Son. He gave Him, who suffered and died. What was that? It was a display of God's love. How? You say, well, God loves the world. Yes, how does God love the world? By the crucifixion of Jesus. That's how. That's how God loves the world. And He doesn't love the world in some other kind of way. That is how God loves the world. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. If God did not spare His own Son, how will He not also freely give us all things? If God the Father did not spare Jesus, and the blood of Jesus was shed for us, God gave that to you. For you as a believer. Well, then will not God also freely give us all things? If God gave His Son, for Him to give you some promises is no big deal. Of course you have the promises of God. He gave you His Son. If God gave you His Son to give you His covenants is not difficult. If God gave you His Son to make you part of His people, the people of God, is not difficult. God gave His Son for you. Of course you have all blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say, well, wow, that's huge. Okay. And to us it is. And it's important. But do you know all the blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus being yours is only the byproduct of Jesus shedding His blood. It all comes out of the blood of Jesus. And so, if you've trusted Jesus for your eternal salvation, you've got it all. You've got it all. Everything that's here in these chapters. And if you have not yet trusted Jesus alone for your salvation, you don't have any of it yet. You don't have any of it. But do you know, if you say, yeah, I might not have any of it, but I'd like it, I want it, then the Holy Spirit is at work in you, drawing you to faith in Christ, that you might believe on Him and thus show that you've been born again. So trust in Jesus for your salvation, and believers, rejoice. Yes, remember where you came from, but also remember where you are now in Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray now that Your Holy Spirit at work in people around the room will do that convicting work. Lord, anyone who yet needs to be saved, Holy Spirit, draw them in these moments. Lord, we thank You that by Your blood You have made us part of the people of God. We are no longer strangers, no longer aliens, alienated from Your people. We are part of You. We belong. And we rejoice in that and give You thanks. So as we sing and worship in closing, if there's someone that would like to talk about their salvation, where they stand with that, I'll just be right here at the front as you're singing. Or if there are other prayer needs, you're welcome to come forward and share those here at the front as we sing.